Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. The general unrest around the world would all remind us these are perilous times. But it should be noted that the same Bible which promises for the last days perilous times also promises the outpouring of God's Spirit. Norman Grubb, the noted Bible expositor, has expressed his conviction. It seems to me that there are three conditions for Christ's return: the going back of the Jews to Palestine in unbelief, worldwide evangelization, and the worldwide outpouring of the Spirit. Observes Grubb, quote, "The first two are being completed before our eyes, and there are signs of the last." That is the worldwide outpouring of God's Spirit. Well, every true child of God senses we may be on the threshold of tremendous, exciting, and thrilling events. Joel's prediction, many believe, was fulfilled only in part at Pentecost and awaits a still greater fulfillment. Moody himself asserted, Pentecost was only a specimen day. The Greek scholar Dean Alford says of Joel's prophecy, it is not the first coming of Christ, but clearly his second. That is referred to in the promise, "It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." D.M. Panton, similarly, calling attention to this almost total unawareness of the colossal coming work of the Holy Ghost, declares, "Throughout the prophets, no prediction of the Spirit's action is more precise, more positive, more lucid, more comprehensive than Joel's forecast of a double Pentecost, the Christian dispensation clasped at both ends like a jewel in a bracelet of miracle." Continues Panton, "Like the imminent return of the Lord, this coming downpour is a star that never wanes, an electric flare in the blackest midnight that earth will ever see, a revival so sure that prayer for it is a delight, an output of the mercy of God second only to Calvary." But it is impossible, friends, to fathom the fullness of this promised Pentecostal blessing seen falling not as dew from heaven nor mere driblets, but in floods and outpouring, not coming on isolated prophets, but in miraculous assemblies, and upon all flesh, upon those prepared to receive. Evan Roberts, foremost figure in the Welsh Revival, has asserted, "The prophecy of Joel is to be fulfilled," and he comments, "If this is so, all flesh must be prepared to receive. The past must be clear. Every sin must be confessed to God. Any wrong to man must be made right. Everything doubtful must be removed at once out of our lives. Obedience to the Spirit of God must be implicit and prompt." Well, how many today who are professing believers in the Lord Jesus scoff at messages on holy living, scorning the call to repent of lust and impurity, hiding behind a supposedly false security that will find many left behind when our Lord returns to rapture His saints? Ah, listen, beloved, we're living in a day of shallow profession, with too little emphasis on repentance. Jesus stressed repentance, saying, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We would also observe that too few messages are heard on Bible holiness, and yet we read, "Follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Too many who call themselves believers continue to live in known sin, in willful disobedience, whereas the Bible identifies a truly born-again person as one who does not practice sin, and warns, quote, "If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." That is, Christ cannot go back and die every time we sin, but rather a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Ah, we are saved by grace through faith. Praise God for that. But there is too little emphasis today on obedience. The Bible says Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. The Bible reminds us when Christ is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, He will take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is to be obeyed as well as believed. When one truly sees the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for his sin, and in his stead, then there is in the heart a desire in the genuine believer to abhor sin, to turn from sin, and a sincere desire to obey the Lord, to walk in His ways. Now, if today you are living in known sin and excusing yourself, calling it human weakness, pointing to others who are similarly guilty or hiding behind a doctrine of false assurance, just remember the Bible tells us when Jesus bled on the cross, He died to redeem us from all iniquity. All iniquity. And in this day of compromise and spiritual laxity, when we anticipate our Lord's soon return for His church at any moment, oh, let us sound forth with renewed vigor God's word, which says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, turn from sin." It is only as we forsake sin, friends, that we can experience the Spirit's outpouring in our lives. The Scriptures encourage us to lay aside even the besetting sins as well as the weights in our lives, those things we don't call sin but which hinder us in our Christian life. Hypocrisy and pretense must go. Lust and impurity must cease to control us. Self must needs be crucified so that Christ can reign supreme and the Spirit of God control us. This, my friends, is what God has promised for the last days, the outpouring of His Spirit upon all flesh. I'm wondering how many listening today are honest enough to admit you're not living a victorious life. You're living a spiritually defeated life, and yet your heart hungers for a closer walk with God. You thrill when you hear the deeper truths of God's holy word. Beloved, let me assure you there is more to salvation than receiving the forgiveness of sins. We're not in any way seeking to underestimate the decision you may have made when you came to Christ seeking forgiveness, but simply emphasizing the fact that God also has given of His Holy Spirit to control and empower our lives once we have trusted Christ. Now, to some, this may be new teaching, perhaps. Nevertheless, we would quote from notable men of the past who believed and taught the necessity of receiving the power of God's Spirit for living a victorious life. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who urged, "Let us not be satisfied with the sip that saves, but let us go on to the baptism which buries the flesh and raises us in the likeness of the risen Lord. Even that baptism into the Holy Ghost and into fire which makes us spiritual and sets us all on flame with zeal for the glory of God." D.L. Moody, who once said, "If a man is only converted and we get him into the church, we think the work is done, and we let him go off to sleep, instead of urging him to seek the gift of the Holy Ghost that he may be anointed for the work, we let him sleep and slumber." Insists Moody, "The Holy Ghost coming upon men with power is distinct and separate from conversion." We would yet quote from the noted Bible scholar A.J. Gordon, who asserted, quote, "It seems clear from the Scripture that it is a duty and privilege of believers to receive the Holy Spirit by a conscious, definite act of appropriating faith, just as they received Christ." In other words, friends, these beloved men of God have given to us instruction, and they have taught definitely from the Word the necessity of receiving the Holy Ghost in a definite way, just as in receiving Christ. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to come and control your life? As you once asked the Lord Jesus to save you, now ask the Holy Spirit to fill your life with His presence and power. Remember, however, the Holy Spirit will not fill a proud or disobedient life. The Bible again emphasizes, God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Reminds me of what Moody once said. We would not have to wait long for this endowment of the Spirit if we did not have to come to an end of ourselves. This is sometimes a long road, says Moody. But if God were to endue us with power while we are filled with conceit, we would become vain as peacocks. Our friend today, do you want God's endowment of power promised for the last days? There is a price that must be paid, but how glorious is God's rich and wondrous presence and power promised to the believer who meets the conditions. Even our blessed Lord knew of a time when the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove came upon His person. From thence He went forth witnessing to the great power of God. The secret of God's power in our Lord's life can become the secret to power in your life. For of Him we read, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God hath anointed thee. Ah, friends, listen. Do you want God's endowment of power upon your life? If you want God's anointing, if you want to be ready when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel is heard and Christ suddenly appears, take heed to the call of God today to turn from all known sin, even the weights and inconsistencies which may be in your life, and simply ask God's Holy Spirit to fill you with His presence and power. Remember, this is God's promise for the last days. Both Peter and Joel link the actual prophecy of the Spirit's outpouring as occurring before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So today, won't you heed this vital message? And be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a podcast of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer. Will you be ready?